Spin 103.8. This is Spin Talk with Lauren. Now, we're always saying if you want to get in touch with the show and drop us an email about anything that's going on in your life, we're more than happy to discuss it. So spintalk@spin1038.com is the email. And last week we got an email in from Jess because she thought it would be great to highlight OCD on the show, and it's OCD Awareness Week this week, so we're more than happy to talk about it. We'd love to hear from you if OCD is something that affects you or someone in your life. And I'm thrilled to say that Jess is on the line with me now. Hi, Jess.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you so much for getting in touch. You emailed us last week just to tell us a bit about you and OCD and your own life. Why is this something that you thought we needed to raise awareness about, Jess?
Well, there's a lot of misconception in the media around OCD, and it's something that's kind of a little bit of a something that kind of bugs people with OCD is just people have a kind of a general sort of understanding of it, but there's so much more to it. And I think people see it as a kind of more of a kind of personality quirk than they do see it as a chronic serious mental health condition that can really rob you of your life, you know, and has done to me in the past. And I know a lot of people with OCD, and it kind of bothers them a little bit when people say things like, oh, I'm a little bit OCD, because I think people don't really understand the gravity of the disorder. So considering it's Mental Health Awareness Week and also OCD, International OCD Awareness Week, I thought it'd be really nice to maybe just do a little piece on it and just try and kind of give people out there a better understanding and let people know that there are resources out there if people have OCD, because there's also a lot of shame around it. People don't like talking about it because there's so much misunderstanding around it. So maybe it might encourage people to kind of seek some help.
Tell me a bit about you, Jess, and your journey with OCD. When were you diagnosed?
Well, I was diagnosed when I was 16, but like looking back on my life, I could see that it was coming on from a very young age. And I'd say it came on in full force when I was about 10. It started off with an obsession with germs and contamination and magical thinking and stuff like that. So it was triggered by, I got this science magazine when I was a kid, and there was a depiction in it, an animated depiction of someone, a guy sneezing and all these little kind of animated germs flying out from his nose and onto someone's arm. And that kind of lodged in my brain. And life was a little bit stressful at the time, you know, so I think that kind of triggered the OCD going off. And then I started to worry that if I didn't carry out certain rituals, that I would actually morph into other people. So like if someone breathed on me and I could feel their breath on me, I would have to spit on my arm and rub it into the breath to kind of neutralize their germs with my germs. Certain people, that when I walked past them, I would have to cover my face because I thought if I looked at them, I'd turn into them. If someone coughed, I'd have to cough three times afterwards. And I had a whole array of rituals that I had to do. And then over the course of between the ages of 10 and 16, it got worse and worse and worse. I didn't really get any help for it or anything. And I was quite alone, I suppose, at that time, and didn't have anyone to turn to. And my mental health actually got worse and worse. And I actually developed psychosis as well, which people relate to schizophrenia and schizoaffective disorder, but there is a fine line between obsessions and delusions, and people who have OCD that get out of control and isn't treated, they can develop psychosis. So it can be quite dangerous. So I developed psychosis and I was hospitalized, and I was in hospital for a total of 6 months. And then I got out and I was diagnosed with OCD in there, and also they weren't sure if maybe I had schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder, but they treated the psychosis first, and then when I got out, I spent 6 months doing CBT and treating the obsessions. And then basically what happened after that is my family told me not to talk about mental health. Don't mention it to anyone. Forget it. Forget the label. Maybe it was just a breakdown because of the stress that was going on in your life at this time and things that had happened during my childhood. And they said, look, you won't get, you know, you'd have trouble getting a job. People will treat you differently. So take your medication, but don't ever mention it again. So I didn't, and I never told anyone about it. I never told anyone I had been in hospital or anything, and I kept it to myself. And I had it, but I was sort of ticking along with life. And then it was I was 29 And I'd gone to university because I dropped out of school when I got sick, and then I decided I was going back to university at 25. I did a degree. There was a few stressful things that kind of happened. I was put into hospital for colitis and had quite a bad episode of that where they wanted to remove my bowel. My final year at university was very stressful, where I was doing two dissertations. I was working 30 hours a week in a stressful marketing job. I had a very demanding relationship. And I think I was just holding out until I got my degree, and then something just clicked and I snapped and I became extremely anxious and extremely, building up to that, I became very preoccupied after the colitis episode with my digestive system, with health, with food, with nutrition, so, and with body weight and counting calories. So that was all one kind of obsession. And I started to cut out certain foods. I started to develop a lot of rituals around eating. I would have to chew my food a certain amount of times. I would have to eat at certain times of the day. I would have to eat certain food combinations and certain food combinations at certain times of the day. And it just became more and more complicated. I started cutting out foods. I started checking the labels of everything for different types of preservatives or whatever I didn't want to eat. And then I was also counting calories, and it got to the point where I lost a lot of weight. I was dangerously thin, and my hair was falling out, my period stopped. And then when I graduated from university, I ended up moving to Barcelona, and I ended up staying in Barcelona. I got a job, a stressful marketing job in one of the top tech companies in Spain, and it was a great job in the sense that it did actually keep me going. It gave me a purpose, but it was also stressful. And over the 2 years then that I lived in Barcelona, I really struggled and I really tried to fight it. But things went from bad to worse to really bad. You know, the food was a big issue. I would go, I just stopped eating and would go days without eating. Sometimes I wouldn't drink water. I'd go through periods where I'd only drink one type of food. Like I might only eat banana a day and that's it or something. I had big problem making decisions, which is a big part of OCD. I couldn't make any decisions to save my life. Then the germ obsessions came back, where I was cleaning with alcohol and hand gel and cleaning myself obsessively and cleaning everything I touched. I wouldn't touch anything. And I became more and more isolated from everyone, more and more introvert, more and more alone. Then I developed a fear of walking on cigarette butts as well, which was very distressful actually, because Barcelona was covered in cigarette butts and I was
going to say everyone smokes in Spain. Jess, this entire story is just so stressful, like trying to hide and not talk about what's going on in your mind.
Oh, it's just like it was I have to say it was absolutely awful. Like thinking about it makes me so sad when I think about how distressed I was. You know, I really wasn't living, you know, I was doing really crazy things. Like I believed that my own germs would protect me from the germs of other people. So I stopped showering, I stopped brushing my teeth, I wore the same clothes every day. You know, I wasn't eating. I moved into a flat, which I thought was dirty. So I didn't bring any furniture into it. And I was sleeping on the ground. I mean, I was living like an animal in the flat. I mean, it was just, it broke, you know. I ended up being put into hospital. Then my therapist, I was seeing a therapist. She phoned the paramedics one evening and just said, you can't go on like this, you know. No. And she put me into hospital. And I was spent 3 months in hospital there, and the hospitals were rubbish. And after 3 months, I decided I was coming back to Ireland to recuperate. And I took 8 months out here, and I really worked on myself. And I built my life back up, and you know, it's taken me a good 2 years to really get back on track. And it is a chronic disorder, so I still struggle with it every day, but it's nothing like how it was. I live my life, I have a job, I have friends.
I was going to ask you like about support, Jess, and I know you mentioned your family earlier on, and like throughout all this, what was your support network like?
I pushed everyone away, Lauren. People tried. I mean, I was in a different country, but my mum came over, and I pushed her away, wouldn't let her into my flat. I I left the city, basically. Said I wasn't going to come back to the city unless she left Barcelona. I pushed everyone away, my friends. I didn't talk to anybody. The only support I had, really, that I kept going to my therapist, and she got me into hospital. But once I was in hospital and I was feeling a bit better and I let people in, it was my family, my mum. I mean, my mum was a huge part of my life. She got me through it, really, you know, and let me live with her when I came back to Ireland, and went through every step of it with me. So I don't know where I would be without her, to be honest. If I had come out of hospital and gone back into living on my own, I don't even know. I don't know, you know, if I would be here today, you know.
It sounds like things escalated very quickly, you know, and yeah. That is something I think, you know, if people are worried about someone or maybe they're starting to feel a bit anxious about certain things, to note is that how quickly a disorder like OCD can escalate.
Oh, it really can. And the thing is, you can look like you're coping. You know, I was saying to people, like, I'm not coping. I knew I was losing the plot. But people go, no, like, you're living in Barcelona, you have a great job, you went to work every day. And I went to work every single day up until I was hospitalized. And I did a great job, and they promoted me, they gave me more money. But they didn't know how I don't know, but they did. They saw how the state of me when I was in there. But I don't know why they didn't say anything. I don't know, maybe they were afraid. But the point is, someone can look on the surface really like they're holding it together, and they're not. But it is very important to get help early on, because it can get to a point where, you know, it takes over your mind so much that you kind of, it can be dangerous, you know. Yeah. I was in a very bad way. I didn't, you know, as they say, I wasn't eating, I wasn't looking after myself, I didn't want to be alive. I you know, it was awful. And that's the thing about OCD. People think it's just someone who's a little bit of a perfectionist, or they just wash their hands a bit too much. And I'm not the only one who has a story like this. There are so many people who end up not being able to leave their house, and, you know, it robs people of their life, you know.
How are you now, Jess?
I'm great now. Really, I'm great. I have a hold of it. The best thing I've done for it is go to the support group that's on. OCD Ireland run these support groups. So I go to the one that's on every second and fourth Monday of the month at 8:30 in St. Pat's. But they have them in Trinity College as well on the first Tuesday of every month, and they have them the second Monday of every month at 7:45 in Pats as well. You can get all the information on OCD Ireland, but that gets me through, and learning more about the disorder, meeting other people, getting tips from other people in the group. But I've done a hell of a lot of therapy and medication as well. Like, I had to take a lot of medication to get me over the initial hump, and I don't think people should be afraid to take medication either. You know, gives you the strength to do all the other stuff, you know. It still affects me days where I'm tired and stressed. You know, I'll get more intrusive thoughts, or I'll get more, you know, worries and things like that. But in general, I'm way better than I have been in a very long time.
Jess, and thank you enough for coming on Spin Talk. I know it's not easy to talk our own experiences, and that's what this entire week is about, addressing our mental health and OCD. I can't thank you enough for highlighting it with us on Spin Talk. And just, I hope your story will maybe, you know, make someone think twice before they say something like, oh, I'm a bit OCD because I like keeping the kitchen clean. You know, it's one of those things that we don't understand enough about unless we've gone through it ourselves. So I really appreciate you coming on Spin Talk today.
Well, I really appreciate you highlighting the topic, Lauren. It's really important to me and to everyone who has OCD. I think Spin Talk, I just want to say I love the show, and like it actually, I listen to it every day. I listen to the radio as a distraction from my thoughts, you know, and I listen to Spin Talk every day, and I love the show, and I think you guys do great work on highlighting these kind of lesser known conditions. So thanks very much.
Oh, thanks so much, Jess.
Thank you.
A lot of you are getting in touch about your own experiences, which is great to hear and great for raising awareness. So fair play. Thank you so much. I get through as many of the messages as I can, but first to the phones, and Lorna is there. Hi, Lorna.
Hiya.
Lorna, thanks so much for coming on. Could you relate to much of what Jess had to say?
I actually didn't hear any of it.
Oh, okay. Not to worry.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're grand. You're grand. Tell me a bit about you then, Lorna.
Well, I've always had OCD, but I wasn't actually properly diagnosed until I was 18, and I was having real difficulty studying for my leaving cert. I had begun having difficulty reading because I would keep having to go over the same sentence, and if I didn't read it with correct punctuation and stuff like that, I'd have to start all over again. So I had to go to my mom and I said, here, I know I've always had OCD, but now it's really getting in the way of everything. And so from then on, then I was seeing a therapist and stuff like that. And nowadays, while I am on medication, and it probably has gotten better because through cognitive behavioural therapy, I've kind of changed how my brain reacts to certain things. But my biggest issue now would be numbers, which I don't like even numbers at all. So I have to do everything by odd numbers, and that's probably the most the one that applies to sort of everyday life. And probably what people don't understand is that if you have OCD, your mind doesn't stop, you know, and it can sometimes become really overbearing for your head, like, and you get headaches from it and stuff like that. And I feel as if people just kind of, they're like, oh, I'm so OCD about this and that and the other. Like, and as I said, actually how I got in touch with Spin is was via Facebook, I saw. And I said, I feel as if it's more of an adjective rather than an actual mental illness, which people say used to describe, oh, I'm so OCD about this and that and the other. Mm. And actually, Khloe Kardashian had this like a series of videos called Closey D, which was her just organizing her cookies and her running shoes. And it's quite insulting when it pretty much dictates how you live your everyday life, and everything you do is kind of the product of the particularities in your head that you have to kind of follow a set of rules which you have assigned yourself. And I feel as if people don't really take that seriously. And if you say to them, oh, I've got OCD, like people would laugh, like, oh my God, that's hilarious. And you're like, oh, cool, okay, no problem. Yeah, that's essentially it, yeah. And I've had, this year was my first year living with people that weren't my family. And so the whole summer I was so nervous about, even though they're like very good friends of mine, I was so nervous at the prospect of them moving in and me having to reveal my world to them, even though they knew I had it. But it's really rife in it's really rife in wherever I'm living, that I have created all of these little like rituals for myself to do. And I had to warn them, like don't touch my washing on the clothes horse, and don't touch any light switch that I've touched, and all these different things. And I went mad at my friend last week because she moved to this little wine rack, which is just taking up space, but it has to stay where it is. And I feel so bad that they have to live with me like this. And I was really nervous initially about living with them. Thankfully, like, they're really, really sound girls, like, and they're being so kind to me about it.
I would imagine for them, Lorna, is at least if they know, they can do something about it. What I think, because as you said, people are so ignorant to it, they don't understand. The girls are probably just like, tell us how we can help, or tell us what not to do, and then we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's completely it. And sort of different things arise, like, over time, like new things will come up that I would just manifest in my head that I would become an OCD issue, and things change all the time. But thankfully, like, through medication and cognitive behavioural therapy, well, the whole reading thing, which is ironic, I'm an English student now, but thank God, because I can read again. For a while I couldn't read.
Oh, wow. And can I ask, Lorna, and I really hope you don't think that this is insensitive, but I think it's something that a lot of people will ask. Like, for example, you mentioned the clothes horse and the wine rack. If someone did move them, what would happen?
This is a bit of a touchy subject. I'd go into my room and I'd start hitting myself.
God. See, and I think people don't realise that. I think people will think, look, what's the worst can happen? Like, exactly. You just have to deal with it. But it's so serious.
Mm-hmm. Like, you do get over it. You do. And that is so true. But the havoc it causes in your head after it, like, it's not just as simple as, oh, you'll get over it, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why it's like sort of self inflicting pain. I would sort of like squeeze it. Sort of, if you know, whenever you're angry and you kind of like squeeze a stress ball,
yeah,
that's kind of essentially what, like, I'm just, there's like this rage in my head, so I kind of like, I just kind of take it out myself, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lorna, I think you have done such an incredible job of explaining something that people just don't understand, and people, mm-hmm. you know, I think sometimes don't want to understand because they're afraid of it, you know. So I think you've done a really, yeah. really great job today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks so much. Thank
Lovely
you.
To speak to you. It's just one of those things that unless you live it or you live with someone who is living with OCD, you just can't possibly understand it. And I think Lorna did such a great job there of putting into words just what life is like. And fair play to her friends and the, you know, the girls she lives with. Like I said, for them, they probably just, the more information they have, the better life can be for them and for Lorna living together. You can get involved in the conversation. I'm on 087 711 1038. Sarah Marie is next on the line. Hi, Sarah Marie.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you very much. Sarah Marie, tell me a bit about you and what helps you deal with OCD.
Well, I'm not fully diagnosed yet, so I'm only starting to get treatment. Just literally call a doctor, so I'm waiting on an appointment this week. But I've kind of dealt with it all my life, but I didn't really know what it was. I thought, like, everybody thought the same. So I thought that was normal to worry so much about things, and you know. But you know, I think you know you have to kind of. I think meditation really helps, and the cognitive behavioral therapy definitely helps because I've been in that in the past. But you know, I don't think it really ever fully goes away.
Yeah.
I think it's always kind of in the back of your mind, like you know. If you can get the reassurance off people. You can, you know, you could say, oh God, I'm so worried about this, you know, and you could be focused on it for a few hours, and you know, you tell someone and they say, yeah, you know, you're grand, don't worry about it, you'll be fine, you know, and you think for a few minutes, yeah, okay, you're right, you're absolutely right, I'll be fine. And then about half an hour later, you're thinking about it again, you're worrying about it again, you're like, oh God, you know.
Mm.
And so you get the reassurance for a little while and then it just comes back again, you know, so... It is tough, you know.
It sounds very tough, Sarah Marie. And you were saying like, only recently you've been seeking help and going towards diagnosis, but has life always been like this for you?
Yeah, like I think I remember really the day that started was during an exam in primary school. And it just started as, oh God, you know, it was kind of dread, oh God, what if? And that's the big question with OCDs, what if? Like, what if this happens? And, like, you know, normal kind of people will think, okay, well, what if this happens? Oh, yeah, that's silly. You know, you forget about it, you know, like, don't worry about it. Whereas with OCD, it's kind of like, well, what if? And then you think about it and you keep thinking about it and you can't stop thinking about it. And that's the difference. Like, it's a thought that stays with you and you can't stop thinking about it. So...
And as you said, you know, it's quite a journey. You know, you're only seeking help at the moment. So, Sarah Marie, I hope it goes well for you and you find the things, like you mentioned, cognitive behavioural therapy, that will work for you and ease it a bit for you.
Yeah, I know. I think it's just a mixture of things. It's kind of a trial and error, you know. Different things work for everybody. I think really talking about it is a big thing, you know, and not keep it to yourself because
we've heard that from Jess
for so long, and I think that's the best thing to do, you know, is talk about it and you know, you get through it eventually, you know.
Thank you so much for coming on, Sarah Marie. Lovely to hear from you today.
No worries, thank you.
That is something that Jess pointed out earlier on, is keeping it to yourself. And just before I go to our next caller, Alison, just to mention, Jess had mentioned the support group that she attends in St. Pat's. There's one in Trinity as well, and she also asked us to mention part of OCD Ireland's lecture series Wednesday the 15th of November in St. Pat's. There'll be an introduction and overview of OCD, a psychiatric perspective, and that lecture will be given by Professor Jim Lucy, who is the medical director of St. Patrick's Hospital and also clinical professor of psychiatry at Trinity. So OCD Ireland is where Jess kept sending us to the website there, and there's also a lot of great information online at the International OCD Foundation, so just to mention that before I forget. Thank you so much to everyone who's been getting involved in the conversation so far. We've changed the name of our next caller to Alison. Hi, Alison.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you very much, and thanks so much for coming on, Alison. Sarah Marie before you and Jess a little earlier on both mentioned the difficulties around talking about OCD. Is it something that you've kept to yourself in the past?
Oh, 100%. You know, I think I had texted in to say that I think the biggest thing is that it's so misunderstood and that people, you know, really trivialise it and say, oh, you know, I'm really tidy and I don't like, you know, wearing odd socks and I have to have everything sparkling clean. I have OCD. So, you know, then if it ever came up, oh, I have OCD, people kind of say, oh, well, you know, so what? That's not, you know, something worth, you know, writing home about. So I think largely because it's kind of trivialized and misunderstood, and parts of OCD can be very, like, can be incredibly distressing, and that, you know, people don't really want to go into detail as to what their thoughts are and how they're affecting them. So yeah, it's something that I kind of keep to myself. Now my family and my close friends know about it, but it's not something I would be kind of disclosing left, right and centre. Yeah.
And how has it affected your life?
Well, I guess I've had it for such a long time now. I think the majority of people that ring in or people that have it, you know, they say, oh, I was diagnosed at, you know, 16 or 18, but they know that it's been there from a very early kind of stage in their lives. And that was definitely the case with me. It started off with kind of food things, you know, like having rituals around food. And the first time that it really kind of came a problem was because I got very underweight as a young adolescent. And I've kind of, you know, the thing about OCD as well is that it can evolve and it changes. So what, you know, the rituals and the obsessions that you have maybe, you know, 2 years ago might be completely different, you know, in the present. So it's just the biggest thing is that it causes so much distress and anxiety that you just can't, you know, live the life that you want to live. You know, you're ashamed, you're afraid, you know, you just stay at home, you stay in a safe space that you can't impose upon anybody else. So, you know, it totally impedes on your function and your quality of life. And, you know, I've gotten very good at kind of hiding it when it's bad, but, you know, I'm not really living. I'm just, you know, existing when it's at its worst.
What advice would you have for someone listening, Alison, who might be experiencing some of the distress, some of the anxiety, but they mightn't quite know what's going on just yet? What would you say to them?
Well, I would say, you know, I'd be a big advocate for, you know, going to the doctor. Of course, it's great to, you know, take a load off and speak to friends and family. But, you know, a doctor can really help and, you know, pinpoint exactly what it is. I think sometimes friends and family, while of course all their intentions are good, they can be a little bit too anecdotal or, you know, maybe not realise how serious it is. And sometimes people are afraid to, you know, explain to their closest, like to the people that they love the most, how bad things are. So I would say, you know, there's no harm in going to a GP and, you know, writing down a few notes and saying, this is what I've been feeling and this is how stressful it is. And, you know, like I have a really great doctor that I see, you know, every few months, and, you know, they sent me to CBT and I'm on all the right medication that I need to be on. So, you know, that's what I would suggest. I would say, you know, obviously confide in people that are near you, but, you know, doctors are there and they know what they're talking about and they know what OCD is, like how intense and how serious it can be.
Alison, thank you so much for coming on Spin Talk today. It's been great having you.
Thanks, Lauren. Bye.
We changed Alison's name at the start there. And as I said, that's never an issue to do. If you just, you know, don't want to get into too much about yourself or you'd like to change your name, that's never a problem. Still lots of messages coming in about your own experiences with OCD or similar disorders. So I'll do my best to get through all of them. And still to come on Spin Talk, I'll have a few more details on Zeminar. We're going to be live from the RDS this Wednesday and Thursday. Spin 103.